The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. When I traveled on a pilgrimage to Italy, and right before we entered the Sistine Chapel, there was this room that had this huge mural on one of the walls, and it depicted a historical event, both literally and symbolically, the declaration of the doctrine of our Catholic faith by Pope Pius IX. This was declared on December 8, 1854. We pronounce and define that the doctrine which holds that the most blessed Virgin Mary, in the first instant of her conception, by a singular grace and privilege granted by Almighty God, in view of the merits of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the human race, was preserved free from all stain of original sin, is a doctrine revealed by God, and therefore to be believed firmly and constantly by all the faithful. In the mural on the wall, there were groups. In the center was the church on earth. You saw the Pope holding up a scroll, reading this declaration to gathered bishops and people. You saw above the church in heaven giving praise and thanksgiving to God for this gift. And you even saw those people in what we would call limbo or purgatory as well, praising God for all that. A singular grace granted by God. So this means that this was a gift, a unique gift, only given to Mary, and a gift that came from God, our Heavenly Father. In the views of the merits of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the human race, that phrase means that the grace that flowed from Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection was the source of this gift. For an engineer who likes to see time just kind of flowing straight ahead, God, of course, being outside of time, could take the grace from Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, which in our time had not occurred, and apply it to this gift, shielding Mary from the stain of original sin. Is a doctrine revealed by God? That's an important part of the statement. This is not something that human beings just came up with. This is not something that we just made up. This is a revelation by God, a revelation that the Pope wanted to make sure we understood is a part of the deposit of faith, is a part of what our Catholic faith, what it means to be a Catholic, and to be passed along to generation after generation. And when we say it was revealed, it wasn't like it was only revealed in the 19th century. This was not a new belief. It was expressed from the early days of the Church, at the very least implicitly. For example, Saint Anselm, he wrote, "The universe rejoices with new and indefinable loveliness. Not only does it feel the unseen presence of God Himself, its Creator, it sees Him openly, working and making it holy. These great blessings spring from the blessed fruit of Mary's womb." Saint Anselm realized that as Creator, the incarnation meant a step where creation now was to be renewed and blessings would be springing forth. Saint Anselm further wrote, "God then is the Father of the created world, and Mary the Mother of the recreated world. God is the Father by whom all things were given life, and Mary the Mother through whom all things were given new life." This idea of creation being recreated in Jesus's birth, his passion, his death, and resurrection has been an important part of our faith from the very beginning. And so, when we gather together to celebrate, we celebrate how gracious God is with His gifts. Of course, we celebrate that special gift given to Mary. On the one hand, yes, a singular gift given only to her. But it wasn't just for her. It was part of God's plan of salvation. A plan that began the process of restoring creation to its original innocence. A plan that continues to unfold this day. Mary is our mother because of the gift that God gave her, and of course, being the vessel that the Son of the Most High God was born a human being. This is what we celebrate this day. And because of that great gift, Mary was free, truly free, to be able to say yes to that angel, as we heard in today's gospel. And so, let us pray this day, not only in thanksgiving to God, but maybe ask that we as well be free to say yes to God, because we can already see in the example of the Blessed Virgin Mary what a wonderful, wonderful miracles God can make with that yes.